Good morning, First Baptist. Can everybody hear me all right? We're happy to be here today. We can worship God, and I'd like to open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, humbly seeking your word, humbly seeking your grace, and we pray that you would send your Spirit to speak to our hearts as we open your word, to reveal your love towards us, and to enlighten us as to who you are and the plan you have for your creation. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'll be referencing the King James Version of the Scripture today. And I wanted to, this will be my first sermon. My name's Harry Martin, if you don't know me. And so I wanted to get right to the basics. So that's what the sermon's going to be about today. So what the question is, what was Jesus' purpose for leaving heaven and coming to earth as a man? Well, Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 19, Jesus tells us in his own words, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, that's a pretty easy answer, but what was Jesus saving and what was lost and how is Jesus going to save it? That's the big question. So let's look in Genesis and see how the world was and how God and man interacted after the creation. So in Genesis chapter 1:31, we see when God created the plants and trees, God saw that it was good. And when God created the animals and the fish, God saw that it was very good. And then God created man in his own image and after his own likeness. And then God says, behold, everything he has created is now called very good. So God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he placed the man that he had created, and God gave him a task to do, and he gave him instructions to replenish the earth and subdue it. Now God didn't really need Adam to name the animals and to keep the garden. If you have the power to create all these hundreds, thousands of animals, you can name them as well, but God wanted a purpose to spend time with Adam, probably so he could teach him, so he could lean on God for his strength and wisdom. But that was the reason for the tasks, so they could form a relationship. And God gave man dominion over the earth that he had created to the man that he had created in his own image. Then something changed. The evil one misrepresented God, and man begins to question whether God's way is best. Maybe man can do it on his own and he doesn't need God. And then man disobeys his God and sins against his Creator. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, God comes to the garden to walk with the man, to have their usual, I'm guessing, daily face-to-face time together. But the man, now in his shame, hides himself, even though God gives him three chances to repent and to confess what he's done. Instead, they cast blame and they continue in their shame. They can no longer look upon the face of their Creator. If we see this timeline, and it took me a couple of weeks after writing this to discover this, but we see in this timeline, we can see the character of God. We can see that God starts his plan of redemption before he sends man from the garden. You see how that God starts his redemption plan before he sends man from the garden. It's more important to God that he saves the creation that he loves than it is to cast judgment upon it. So we could say that God is slow to judge and quick to save. And now we have brought into God's perfect world shame, anger, we see that in Cain, lies, death, and sorrow. And the perfect world that God had created for us is no longer perfect. The perfect world that God created us to be a part of is no longer perfect. The garden has become a thorny thicket. Death has entered into the world. And the mutually rewarding and beneficial marriage between man and woman has been filled with jealousy, lust, and strife. Does anyone think that we deserve God to come and save us from our own sin? I don't. But God, being who He is, the perfect and loving Father, He does make a way to save His creation, to save the man that He'd created in His own image. When God came to walk with Adam, He knew what the consequences of man's sins were going to be. And we can see those. Romans 6:23a says the wages of sin is death. And Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But do you remember we talked about the character of God? Let's look at Romans 5:8. 5:8 tells us that God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So let's take a step to the side for a second. Let's imagine you and your spouse are going to have a baby. Would you be excited at the news? Would you be ready to, would you already be picking out names and maybe dreaming, maybe arguing a little bit whether it's going to be a boy or a girl with your spouse? Probably imagine playing some games, playing ball, or maybe some games that you played with your parents when you were a child. Picking out clothes, getting the nursery room ready. Would you already love the child even before they're born? Now imagine on the day that your child is born, the doctor says, "I'm sorry, but your child has a heart condition and they'll never be able to leave the hospital. They'll never be able to go home with you, and they'll probably never make it." You would probably be devastated, brokenhearted. The child that you love, would you be able to walk out of the hospital and say, "Well, I'm just going to leave the child with the nurses and doctors, try to forget about him"? Or would you go up and tell the doctor, what can I do? What can be done? Maybe even give him a little shake. How much is it going to cost? I'll pay whatever I have so I can take my child home." Well, friends, you and I were born with a heart condition, and that heart condition is called sin. But God, being the loving and holy, perfect God that He is, He gave His only Son, Jesus, who paid the price to heal us from our sinful heart condition and to bring us home. Let's look at Romans 6:23 again, and let's read all of it this time. Let's look for God's character in this verse, and let's ask ourselves the question, what did Jesus come to seek and to save? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a gift, wouldn't you say, especially with our sinful hearts? The gift of eternal life through Jesus. So, my friends, that is what Jesus came to the earth to seek and to save, the lost sinner. That's you and that's me. The relationship we had in the garden with our Creator, Jesus has made that possible again. Christ has died to pay the penalty, the wages of our sin, and has lived the perfect life of obedience to the Father, obedience unto death, even the death of the cross, so Christ could wrap us in His robe of righteousness and bring us back to the Father, faultless and shameless. And only through Jesus is that possible. Now, Jesus couldn't be held by the grave, being Emmanuel, God with us. God couldn't be held by the grave, and death couldn't contain Him. But Jesus is risen and will bring us up on the last day to the resurrection of life if we believe in Him and if we put our faith in Him, all our faith. The relationship, if we have the relationship in our heart with Him that He's seeking. And when we return home to be with our Father in heaven, death will be gone, sorrow will be gone, deceit gone, Hate gone. Lies, envy, jealousy, strife, all gone. The diseases that are attacking our children, the cancers that are destroying our parents, and the infirmities that are killing our brothers and sisters, our spouses, our friends, and even ourselves will be no more. The goodness and glory of God will simply rebuke them. They can no more exist in the presence of God than the darkness can exist in the light. And what will be left? What will be left is what God created very good. We will be in the presence of God again, face to face, created with His Creator, and man with his God. And as we said, it's not because of who we are or what we've done or what we deserve, but because our God is the perfect and loving Father. John 3:16 sums it up. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that, friends, is what the Son of Man was seeking. God wants to bring us home. Jesus paid the price on Calvary, and through God's great love for us, He is calling us home. Let's read Luke 19:10 again, and we can answer this question. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's seeking you, friends. If you don't know Jesus today, He's seeking you. He's seeking that face-to-face and that heart-to-heart relationship that we had in the garden. And if you don't believe me, there's 66 books right here that God wrote to tell you He wants you back. He wants you, His child, to come home forever. And if you do have Jesus in your heart, then praise be to God and praise be to Jesus. And let's tell the world just how great our God is. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, Father in heaven, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for loving us enough to send Jesus to pay the price for our sin, for our mistrust of You. And we thank You for loving us enough to send Jesus to live in our hearts until the day we can return. Till the day we can return home and not have to hide ourselves in the shame, but to stand in the presence of our Creator and worship You in eternity. In the holy and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.